Welcome to the 257th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida, but currently living in Houston, Texas for the past, this is going to be 4 weeks. So again, like I talked last week, I am a proud mom of a plant-based baby. So we're going to talk about that today. I have a special guest, Daddy Delaney Meinrich, our registered dietitian and new mother, to tell you all about being pregnant and plant-based. But first, I would like to give a shout out to my favorite vegan strength coach. Happy birthday, Nathan Meinrich. So big guy, has turned 30 years old, plant-based. He does a workout every year on his birthday, and doing it plant-based and going strong. So no need to worry about eating those plants. You can still be big and strong and be very athletic. So he was doing pull-ups and push-ups and squatting and everything else that strength coaches do. Not to worry. Plant-based all the way. So we're going to make him a birthday dinner. I think we may do his favorite birthday dinner when he was growing up was ribs. So obviously we're not going to do ribs, but we're going to do some seitan ribs for him tonight, some potatoes and broccoli, and we're going to make a vegan birthday cake. So we can talk about all that a little bit later. But first of all, welcome, Addie.
Hey, everybody. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Back to the land of the living.
So Addie is 1 week and 1 day from bringing Caleb James into the world, and he is joining us while he sleeps in his little carrier, and real happy to be here plant-based. So let's just go over it. You know, I had you on during the pregnancy, and everything, obviously, you know, you went through the whole thing without a hitch. I believe we did a walk and you did a strength training the day of induction. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah. Well, supposed to be the day of induction. It ended up being the day before. But we went in the middle of the night to the hospital. But yes, the day of induction was my last little workout.
Yeah. So we did 5K about every day the week before.
Yeah. Minimal walking, at least 3.1. So the last week I had to cut out my little jog breaks, but the walking continued as we tried to get Caleb to come into this world naturally, but he had other plans.
So, you know, it's always people that listen to this podcast, whether you're pregnant or you have daughters that are pregnant, everybody worries about not getting enough nutrients, and your hemoglobin was fine during this pregnancy?
Yes. Yeah, I actually never had any anemia of any kind. Blood work was great. You know, fasting glucose tests they make you take. That came back optimal. So, yeah, I never had any hypertension. Really never had any excessive swelling of any kind, any edema. So, was very blessed and fortunate to have a healthy, healthy pregnancy. Didn't have to do any crazy supplementation. I did take a vegan prenatal vitamin and an omega-3 supplement from an algae source. So no fish oil. Try to avoid that as much as possible with all the heavy metal risk for contamination on that end of things. In terms of, you know, just my intake, you know, omega-3s from that end kept up with, you know, things like chia seeds, flaxseed, you know, walnuts, kale, things of that nature to keep on that end. So not just relying on the supplements, just kind of relying on the supplements for peace of mind or when my intake may have wavered a little bit due to, you know, whether it be cravings or, you know, early first trimester nausea, just to kind of supplement on that end. But getting everything I needed from my nutrition, I just popped that B12 vitamin a little bit more often than before. But, you know, nutrition-wise through food and intake, you know, kept to our whole food plant-based way of eating. Yes, increased need for protein in pregnancy, as well as, you know, from those sources, you're getting the increased iron that you need as well with your blood volume increasing. But I didn't, you know, neurotically count that. Kind of just like if you were going into a higher activity athletic season, what I would have an athlete do was just increase overall intake to maximize you know, nutrition that way versus looking at a specific macronutrient. So by doing that, I gained appropriate weight for me, for Caleb, but also overall intake, keeping it balanced, but increasing it, was able to increase my protein naturally as well, but not to an astronomical amount. So it wasn't as daunting as it may seem. You know, if we keep it balanced in regular life, when you go into pregnancy, I mean, just kind of kept it the same and just had a lot more craving for fruit. I could have lived on fruit if I wanted to. And the two random cravings I had were end of third trimester, orange juice, and I don't drink juice. That was a crazy thing. And then lemons. I just couldn't get enough of lemons. So those are my two weird things. But other than that, you know, just kept it simple, kept it at home, especially with COVID, and, you know, just ate whole food plant-based and enjoyed it.
So you made your own meals. What, when you were first trimester and a little nauseated, what would, you know, what tricks would you give people that are plant-based?
I would say, you know, look at kind of the foods that are turning you off. I was given the suggestion of protein shakes, which I did not do, by a healthcare provider at the practice I was at. Because in reality, when you increase your protein intake too much, you also increase your acid levels, which isn't going to help with all that. I think, you know, having some simple carbohydrates to help combat the nausea. So whether that be, you know, the grains were helpful during that time. Early first trimester, I didn't really want anything raw, but I knew I needed, you know, greens coming in, especially in that first trimester when you are picking up that blood volume. So I was obsessed with cooked broccoli. So, you know, kind of finding a way of, you know, not just throwing in the towel in your nutrition when maybe your cravings pop in or you have the food aversions, but realizing, you know, obviously the importance of nutrition in pregnancy, you know, how can you adjust maybe from what you normally do to still get those needs met. I think it's a common misconception that eating for two or, you know, oh, you have a craving, satisfy it, when I think that just perpetuates things. So just like outside of pregnancy, you do get a change in your gut microbiome when you eat processed foods or when you eat high sugar, high fat foods. So if we do that once, it doesn't really matter if you're pregnant or not, you're going to want it more often. So I really tried to stick to eating healthy foods as much as we can. I mean, we have desserts from time to time, but not relying on that. And just trying again to really keep it balanced and an appropriate intake to gain weight for the two of us.
You didn't find that the broccoli was, or the beans, too gassy? You know, people get all worried about that.
No. And not to get on the opposite end of things here, but as a dietitian, I tell people I talk as much about the front end as I do about the back end. You know, a concern, if you will, that they tell you or in your pregnancy books is, you know, constipation, irregularity, and even some women experience things like hemorrhoids. And really, if you have a balanced fiber intake, that shouldn't be the case. And that's often, you know, not what people follow because they go into the cravings and they don't have dietary, you know, guidance. You know, my guidance from, unfortunately, healthcare providers were eat what you want to eat. And sometimes we know, especially if you're sick, we may not want to eat the healthy things just because of how we're feeling. But to get feeling better during those times, you need those foods, and same thing with pregnancy. So I think, you know, high fiber diet, I was very regular, not to get into detail of anything, and had no issues on that end, all the way through labor and postpartum as well. So I think high fiber intake has been crucial for me, but I also think for his digestion as well. You're exposing, yeah, you know, your baby to those great gut microbiome benefits that you get with a high fiber diet.
Yeah, I mean, we can skip ahead just a little bit, but when you look at a baby's genes, you know, we always say 50% from the mom and 50% from the dad, but it's actually a lot more from the mom because the baby gets the mom's microbes. So if you're eating a very unhealthy fast food diet, then you're setting the baby up for a gut microbe that's not as healthy, and it's going to be more intolerable to foods, from that point on. So it really is important to maintain your gut microbes and to a variety of fruits and vegetables throughout pregnancy, because you want to give your baby the best microbes that you actually can. So you are eating for two. It's not just calories, but it's the quality of the calories and what those nutrients do. And of course, when you're eating the greens, you're also getting a lot of vitamin K, so that helps with bleeding, both the risk of bleeding during pregnancy, but also postpartum bleeding is going to be helped a lot by eating the greens, and very, very protective on that end. The extra fruit, vitamin C, decrease in risk of infection during pregnancy. Again, in this era of COVID, we're all worried about pregnant moms getting infected. The studies on babies that have mom has been infected, that they've actually done very, very well. But you don't want to have to worry with that if you possibly can. So the more antioxidants and nutrients that you can take in, vitamin C, and again, you're going to do much better with protecting the baby and the baby's immune system. Again, getting outside, the running was very important, to get outside every day and get some sunlight that increases your immune system. So it's really important. You kept your muscle tone through the weightlifting. It also helped with, core stability. Addie was, carried that baby right in front, but she was able to continue to do the squats and really saved her back by maintaining that core strength throughout her pregnancy. So basically, we just say eat that balanced plate.
Yeah.
Just eat more of it.
It doesn't have to be complicated.
No, and if you're just trying to get in more calories, I typically make my oatmeal with water, but if you're trying to get in some more calories, you can add some soy milk to it. This is the time if you want some more minerals, the walnuts and some dates and raisins can increase the iron. Adding some molasses if you tend to be, a little bit prone to anemia early on. That can help that. Again, getting the greens at lunchtime, even if you have to steam them and put them in a bowl. You're going to get plenty of calcium from your grains. If you're sick, nauseated, rice usually is something really good to settle your stomach. So having, making up some rice in Instapot so you don't have to keep making it is also a really good idea. So what'd you do when you went to the hospital? Because, you go to a hospital and you don't necessarily know. You went to Women's Hospital. We're in Texas. It's not a big vegan area.
No.
So there's always a question about what are you going to get to eat?
Right. And I obviously, even if you go into labor naturally, you're only allowed, clear liquids during the process. But I knew ahead of time that I was going to be induced. So we prepared that way I brought my own vegan vegetable, low-sodium organic broth, because I wasn't quite sure what the hospital would have, and they were able to heat that up for me to have at one point during the labor process. We also packed our own pressed juices so I could have some nutrients coming in that way that wasn't just going to be your standard apple or grape juice that I would be provided. So that was helpful. Afterwards, we kind of had been told ahead of time that the food selection and efficiency at the particular hospital we were at was less than stellar. So we packed our own, bars and oats and things like that so that we could have that on hand. And not just rely on hospital cafeteria options. At the hospital, though, postpartum, I was able to get oatmeal every day and some fruit. It wasn't the greatest, wasn't necessarily what I would have at home, but it was the best option on the menu there, and I could get my fiber going right off the bat. Other things that we had, I was pleased to see tofu on the menu and beans as an option. So we were able to choose options that were, vegan as well. I'm sure we had a little oil thrown in there in those meals, but at least we were able to stay vegan and as minimally processed as possible. And then when we got home, you know, we really kind of just kicked it back into normal eating, you know, oats in the morning or fruit in the morning, or we've had some salt rice and bread here and high amount of fruit still though, and some soups and stir fries and things of that nature. So yeah, just kind of kicked it right back into regular intake.
This is a great time of year. And I've been very happy with the produce that I found out shopping in Houston area. I found the Hong Kong market and had a variety of mangoes. I even found yellow dragon fruit. That's my favorite. All kinds of varieties of bok choy and kale. We've got some peaches. It's watermelon season, both in Florida and Texas. So this is a great time of the year to eat, you know, what's in season and what's local. Mangoes, again, one of my favorite fruits of the summer. Mangoes and watermelon, it's like the perfect, it's my favorite time of the year. A lot of vitamin C, a lot of beta carotene, a lot of fiber. One of my favorite drinks after a run or hydration drinks is to do watermelon and frozen cherries. So if you have a watermelon that is a little bit on the ripe side, it's, you know, or getting a little bit grainy, it still makes really good juice in the blender. So you can just add some frozen cherries to that and a banana, and it's a really good drink. So when Eddie came walking in, as you know from the podcast last week, she had some extra complications with recurrent nosebleeds. So she was a little bit on the anemic side after delivering and having three or four pretty big nosebleeds. And so, you know, we got right on that hydration, right on the iron intake with the greens, but also, you know, breastfeeding and to get the milk come in. We want a lot of hydration. So we started out with in the morning with a fruit smoothie in addition to the oatmeal. Again, she alluded to, I was making salt rice and bread here, which is the potato fermented bread. So we had that on. It's made with soy milk, so it's got a little bit of extra protein, a little extra oomph. And even if you're, you know, feeling in the first trimester a little bit on the nauseated side, a good sourdough bread is always going to be good to get in. So if you can get your hands on sourdough bread or ideally make it yourself, I think it's a great bread to have on hand. It freezes nice. You can thaw it. It's going to really help your gut microbes, as is having some sauerkraut on hand to get that in. A couple tablespoons a day to get your gut microbes back in gear. You know, I've been here coming on 4 weeks, like I said, and we really haven't repeated a meal. I think last night was the first time we repeated a meal, kind of. A Buddha bowl, which you like to do with, Addie makes a garlic lemon mustard sauce that was really, really good. But we changed up the vegetables, but we're able to get some really good zucchini this time of year and eggplant and the bok choy.
Mushrooms have been phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think it's really good. The other thing is eating organic, especially now that, you know, new babies come along, breastfeeding. You're going to want to decrease the toxins as much as possible, the glyphosates in the food. So, you know, we want to get as much organic produce in as we possibly can, so that we're really decreasing toxic exposure that comes from the mom to the baby, you know. So you're eating for two while you're pregnant, but you're also eating for two when you're breastfeeding, and those calories, you're going to burn about 500 extra calories a day while breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm. Yes, on average, you know, and it's going to waver, you know, dependent on the time, you know, of the baby's breastfeeding cycle and their needs. But yeah, about an average of 500 extra calories just from that. So making sure to supplement calories, but again, wanting it to be quality just as much.
So, you know, the benefits again of being plant-based during pregnancy, your weight gain was just right on target. It was pretty much weight gain that was all Caleb's weight gain and fluids that way. And then when you breastfeed, if that 500 calories, when we're trying to get people to lose weight in any way, you know, we try to get a calorie deficit of around 200 to 500 calories. So, you know, it's one great way to get your pre-baby weight back very quickly is to breastfeed. So works out for everybody.
Right. And we know that, you know, it's not just about the number on the scale, but getting to a healthy body weight is essential for you know, putting mom in an anti-inflammatory state, not having excessive hormones for a prolonged period of time with excess adipose tissue that you naturally and need to add on during pregnancy to support you and baby and to support breastfeeding thereafter. But, you know, it is important to take care of yourself and look at your nutrition after and try to get back to a healthy weight, you know, as, you know, in an appropriate timeline. You know, it took 9 months to put on this weight. I'm not expecting it to fall off in 2 weeks. But we got a little help from what I lost with Caleb and fluids and things of that nature. But, you know, just taking my time, easing back into some activity and going from there.
And it's important, too, to take it back. I mean, you know, it is a big stress. So it's not like you're going to run right out the door and start your exercise routine. You said, you know, 7 days out, you feel like you're about 60 to 70% back to.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, as any of you with kids know, we are on the lack of sleep side of things. So I feel a little tired on that end, but not, you know, like I got hit by a bus like the first day back. So we're regaining my wits about me a little bit here and there, but able to walk around and move a little bit more. You know, it was recommended for me not to lift anything heavier than baby the first 2 weeks and not to drive and things like that. So, you know, really just kind of taking care of the two of us, getting my strength back these first couple weeks, and then 4 weeks in, slowly going to start to add in some core stabilizing before I would think about any kind of strength training or any kind of cardio, you know, since everything was stretched out and loosened. Really need to get that stability back in my life, so we'll be working in on that. You know, get the all go ahead at 6 weeks. I'll probably start some walking a little bit before then. And then, you know, hop into some, you know, progressive strength training to, again, stabilize more, make sure things are moving the right way, and get back to my favorite thing, which is pounding the pavement. I'm just going to be pushing a little someone extra in front of me.
Yep. We got the bob all lined up with the carrier on top. So you can do some indoor practicing with the bob.
And which he has loved.
Yeah, and then up and down the street, and then next thing you know, it's around the block, and then you just keep pushing, you know, out a little bit each day, and Caleb will tell you when it's enough's enough.
Yes, little victories. The biggest thing, especially if you are breastfeeding postpartum, is making sure if you're, once you begin, resume exercise, you know, supplement that hydration, be really aware of that, and then, you know, we don't want to go into too much of a caloric deficit, because if you aren't eating, you won't produce the milk supply that you need. So, you know, again, balance is key, as always. It's just, you know, wherever you're at along that postpartum journey, adjusting it as needed.
Yeah, your body actually makes a hormone called relaxin that relaxes the ligaments for birth, and it actually takes 5 to 6 months after the delivery for those to start to come back. And so a lot of women, when they start back running, especially if they try to start back too soon, can get into some back issues, you know, with a nerve injury, not too much, unlike what I've experienced with overdoing it. You know, it's that instability in the spine that can cause some nerve impingement. So you certainly don't need that on extra on your plate. So you just have to kind of take it slow. Mm-hmm. Again, I think the bird dogs are going to be great to get that going. Some work your way from the planks. It can even be people can start from the wall, the plank, and then the half plank, and go on about that. So yeah, it's all good. While I'm here, you know, we're having our first tropical storm warning. Cristobal, I guess is what we've been laughing over the name. But it is hurricane season. And, you know, last year we went over some, you know, some tips to be prepared, especially being plant-based. You know, number one is water, to make sure you have adequate supplies of water in case the power goes out and your water goes down. Certainly in the midst of a hurricane, you can fill the bathtub full of water, have some water and some storage for your toilets and things like that, and washing, but to have some bottled water or some sort of a system where you've got some distilled water or some source of water that you can use. It's a good time to look at your pantry, make sure everything's stocked up, make sure you have beans and grains that you're ready, oatmeal, you know what, to think of it as going on a camping trip. We did a class in our nutrition class where we actually made bags of dried soup that they were dehydrated vegetables and all the spices that need to go in the soup. And you can actually make those ahead of time and put them in a bag. And then all you need is boiling water to put the noodles and everything, or the rice with the seasonings and the grains with the seasoning and the dehydrated vegetables in to make a soup. I always like to have extra potatoes on hand when a hurricane or tropical storm is coming, because you can do a lot with those. You can, you know, if you're going to bake potatoes on the grill, or you're going to make some ahead of time and before the power goes out in the oven, then you can have them and you just have to heat them up on the grill. So that makes it good with the little potatoes as a snack. It always shocks me and disappoints me when I go to the grocery store right before a hurricane and I see people with, you know, Coca-Cola, frozen pizzas, and, you know, big bags of Doritos. You know, it's they're going to eat that junk food, you know, about 24 hours into it, and then they're left for the next 5 days figuring out what to do. It's also a good idea to look in your freezer and see what you have. It's a good time to eat out of your freezer and replenish things. So get all the old stuff out of there, you know, start eating the frozen things that you had in there so that you can restock with fresh fruit. I like the carrot dogs. I think that's a good idea. You can make those carrot dogs ahead of time. Keep those in the refrigerator. They're good. They're even good cold on a salad. Mm-hmm. You know, have plenty of fruit around. You know, for the short term. But just the main thing is to make sure your pantry is really well stocked. You have any tips or suggestions what you like to have around?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of hit it all with, you know, grains, beans, canned beans, you know, shelf stable, if you want to call it, fruit that doesn't necessarily need to be refrigerated. You know, things of that nature are really helpful. You know, if you have an ability on a grill to boil water, you can easily cook your grains or beans and things like that on there.
You can do the Instant Pot if you have a generator.
Instant Pot. The Instant Pot's huge. I mean, you can do pasta meals. We've done that even in the Instant Pot. Mm-hmm. So that's really a kind of a nifty tool for those times. But yeah, so it's keeping it simple, but, you know, stocking that pantry, I think, is key, and doing a little bit at a time, especially heading into hurricane season, even if we don't have one around, not waiting to the last minute to do so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I remember years gone by when we had a really bad hurricane in Southwest Florida, Hurricane Charley. People actually came back to my office and they had gained weight because they tried to eat all the junk food and meat out of their freezers. And they actually gained weight, and that was their excuse, or they ate junk food and they gained weight. And I've seen the same thing happen here with COVID and people being quarantined. People have turned to junk food and comfort food, when they're, you know, stuck inside their house. And this is really a good, you know, good time to simplify your meals and to eat really healthy and really simply. And you can come out on the other side of one of these events being in really good health. So there's no reason to come out of quarantine more unhealthy. You should come out more healthy, you know, the same way with a hurricane. You know, in these season, I think, if you look at one thing that's come out of all of this quarantine and COVID scare, it's not the virus and the bacteria that are out there. You know, there'll be COVIDs, there'll be SARS, there'll be Ebolas, there'll be all kinds of different, you know, there'll be Salmonella and all kinds of different bacteria out there that can make you sick. It's going to affect the people that are the worst hosts. So we need to take care of ourselves and not worry about the virus and the bacteria as much as making our own immune systems very, very healthy and making the immune systems of our family very healthy. So if you turn to junk foods during these hurricane watches or quarantines, then you're going to be more likely to be infected. You're going to have more inflammatory cytokines and proteins around that are going to cause you not to do as well. Certainly people that are doing dairy are going to have more mucus production, decreased nitric oxide production in the nasal passages, and more likely to get infected. So it's really important to eat healthy now and prepare yourself not only for a hurricane, but viruses and bacteria to come. Because even if there's a vaccine that would come down the pike that's 100% effective against COVID, we know that's not going to happen because there isn't any 100% effective or 100% without risk. There's not going to be. You need to protect yourself. And the best way to protect yourself is to make your immune system good, make your own gut microbes good. And that comes with eating as much variety of fruits and vegetables that you possibly can. And get out when you can. So if it's going to, you know, I had somebody tell me today, well, they didn't think they were going to get their steps in. They're going to get their walk in because it's raining. It's raining in Florida a whole lot. Well, chances are there's some breaks in the weather. And so, you know, you have to make do. So it might be garage walks. It might be garage exercise. It may be short, you know, half mile walks that, you know, between thunderclouds and thunder in bursts. But, you know, people do what they want to do and what they prioritize. So it's real important to keep the exercise up, even if we're, you know, we're in a situation that, you know, is somewhat raining. And, you know, you can prepare for a hurricane, obviously, by getting things in and getting your steps done and getting some exercise, whether it's boarding up the house or bringing in plants and bringing in furniture in. So that's a good way to get your exercise as well.
Or indoor workouts, even.
Indoor.
The weather.
Yeah.
Turns.
So we have a birthday dinner to make. Like I said, we're going to make a seitan ribs and some potatoes and broccoli. Probably do a green salad, and we have to make a vegan birthday cake. I had somebody talk yesterday or the other day before about, you know, they had kids that, they have four little kids, and the biggest problem that they had was birthday parties, and, you know, or when there's parties that the children attend. And it's like, well, that's really an opportunity to be able to showcase just how great plant-based nutrition is. So there's nothing better than making a really good birthday cake or really good cupcakes or a great pasta salad or, you know, a great kale salad, something really pretty to take to a cookout or take to a birthday party. So your kids have something to eat that they really like, the carrot dogs, that people, they want your food. That's the idea, is to show people that plant-based nutrition is so good that people want your food, not that your kids want their food. So, you know, a little bit more, a little extra effort, making them shapes, making them fun, but you can make it such that not only do your kids want your plant-based cooking, but they, but other kids want your plant-based cooking. So for our big 30-year-old kid, we're going to make him a birthday cake with, you know, we use, instead of oil, we use applesauce. I like using vinegar and baking soda to make it rise. You can use maple syrup as a sweetener. I've done fillings for a layer cake with just taking fresh fruit and boiling that down, adding a little bit of tapioca flour, chia seeds to make that thickened. And then we've been making some icing with, because this is May is the month of birthdays, so we have made some cakes with icings using the aquafaba. Mm-hmm. And so you have the bean chickpea water, chickpea juice. And yeah, we're adding some sugar there. But, you know, for the special birthday occasion, adding some powdered sugar, a little lemon juice, and I added baking powder, and we made the icing. Compared to regular buttercream icing, we're not, obviously, there's no oil in this. There's a little protein from the bean water. So is it a health food? No. But is it an unhealthy dessert? No, not really. There is some nutrients there, and we've really cut the fat. And if you look at that from a caloric stance, you know, if you're looking at a buttercream icing and 9 calories per gram and all that saturated fat, you're really, and if you're a diabetic, you're really making things a lot worse by doing those. And I think people have to realize that if you're going to do this and you're plant-based, then there is not a store-bought cake that is for you. Mm-hmm. So just say no to store-bought cakes and make your own. And just like we talked last week about, you can make your own bread. And if you take enough time to make your bread and go through all those steps, then you're more likely to appreciate it and not just woof it down without thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Same way with the cakes. If you have to take the time to make it and you really take a good, you know, are dedicated to decorating it, you're going to appreciate it more. And your kids are going to appreciate it more. I remember when I was little, my grandmother, that was her gift to each of her children, is what kind of cake would you like? And she made them a special cake. So it's much, much better than just somebody going out and get a store-bought cake that's full of preservatives and all that other kind of stuff. If you, even the cake mix, if you just look on a box, you know, a Duncan Hines or a Betty Crocker cake mix. I mean, there's so many preservatives and all different kinds of food dyes. And again, when you're looking at a little guy that, you know, a little person that is accumulating these, maybe, you know, one serving of these chemicals aren't so bad, but if it's day in and day out, multitudes of different servings, different chemicals, it's going to add up. So this is your opportunity to keep things clean.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's fun.
And it's fun. Yeah. So I've been running every day here with Haas, the German Shepherd. So my German Shepherds are back home, sad and lonely because I'm not with them. But I've had my German Shepherd grandson, Haasie, to run with me every morning. And I'm coming back. I'm doing my 2 minutes run, 30-second walk, and done some little tempo runs now and some pickups and some cadence work. So I'm coming back. Things are coming along nicely. Should be ready for the fall races. We've got Addie going to do the Houston Marathon in January, Addie and Nathan. We're going to talk them into doing that. And then the next, we want people to join us in Florida for the Treasure Island Marathon March the 1st. So mark that on your calendars. Come run with us. We'll have people to pace and plant-based nutrition meetups and all kinds of fun things. So if you're out there and you want to run plant-based, let's start making this a plant-based race. We can take it over. If you have any questions, I'm going to go ahead and email me at Jamie at drdelaney.com. It's drdelaney, or Addie at drdelaney.com. Go over and check out our website at drdelaney.com. We'll send you some recipes. We'll get you on the newsletter to send you what's going on in our practice. If you're tired of dealing with big box medicine and nobody talks to you and you want to become plant-based and get off your medicine, you can give us a call. We'll help you with that. And it looks like it's about ready to wrap it up. I'm going to pack up my Mary Poppins bag and my umbrella and head out of here in the morning and back to Florida and get back in gear and let you get back in gear and get your exercise going. And before long, we'll be back to the normal.
Yeah.
The new normal. The new normal, doctor, dietitian, diva, and little darling. All right. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Stay dry. Eat your plants. Bye now.